Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Thank you all very much for coming. It's so nice to be here with you all. We got slightly delayed there because we went up to the temple and we went around and inspected everything, and I must say things are progressing very nicely. Slow but sure, but sure. So very nice. If there's anyone sitting sort of, you know, around, there's a little space here we could sort of reconfigure slightly. So now we will read from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 1, Questions by the Sages, Text 3. When we actually open the temple in due course, let us not make any promises when that will be, but when we actually do, then Hare Krishna. Thank you. Then we'll start off with Canto 1, Chapter 1, Text 1. And we'll see how long it takes for us to finish the 18,000 verses of Srimad Bhagavatam. In Radharatna, we started with 111 immediately after we opened the temple. End of, what was it, October, I think, 1985. And now we're in the 12th canto. So that's with a verse a day, more or less. Verse a day, 18,000 verses, 365 verses a year, say 1,000 verses every 3 years. Wow, 50 years. Anyway, sometimes we do more than one verse in a day. So yeah, that's what we'll do, I think. Because we want to have regular programs there and not just, you know, only on Sundays and festivals, but have it like, not like, but have it a regular ISKCON temple. So Canto 1, Chapter 1, Questions by the Sages, Text 3. Nigama kalpataroa galitam palam shukamukad amrita drava samyutam pibata bhagavatam rasam alayam mahur aho rasika bhuvi bhavuka. O expert and thoughtful men, relish Srimad Bhagavatam, the mature fruit of the desire tree of Vedic literatures. It emanated from the lips of Sri Shukadev Goswami. Therefore this fruit has become even more tasteful, although its nectarian juice was already relishable for all, including liberated souls. So it was right at the beginning of the Bhagavatam, and these are very important verses. So let us read the purport. There's a long purport. by Srila Prabhupada. Let us read part of it. In this shloka, it is definitely stated that spiritual rasa, which is relished even in the liberated stage, can be experienced in the literature of the Srimad Bhagavatam due to its being the ripened fruit of all Vedic knowledge. By submissively hearing this transcendental literature, one can attain the full pleasure of his heart's desire, but one must be very careful to hear the message from the right source. Srimad Bhagavatam is exactly received from the right source. It was brought by Narada Muni from the spiritual world and given to his disciple Sri Vyasadeva. The latter in turn delivered the message to his son Srila Shukadeva Goswami, and Srila Shukadeva Goswami delivered the message to Maharaj Parikshit just 7 days before the king's death. Srila Shukadeva Goswami was a liberated soul from his very birth. He was liberated even in the womb of his mother, and he did not undergo any sort of spiritual training after his birth. At birth, no one is qualified, neither in the mundane nor in the spiritual sense. But Sri Shukadeva Goswami, due to his being a perfectly liberated soul, did not have to undergo an evolutionary process for spiritual realization. Yet, despite his being a completely liberated person, situated in the transcendental position above the three modes, the three material modes, he was attracted to this transcendental rasa of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is adored by liberated souls who sing Vedic hymns. The Supreme Lord's pastimes are more attractive to liberated souls than to mundane people. He is of necessity not impersonal, because it is only possible to carry on transcendental rasa with a person. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, the transcendental pastimes of the Lord are narrated, and the narration is systematically depicted by Srila Shukadeva Goswami. Thus, the subject matter is appealing to all classes of persons, including those who seek liberation and those who seek to become one with the Supreme Whole. In Sanskrit, the parrot is also known as Shuka. When a ripened fruit is cut by the red beaks of such birds, its sweet flavor is enhanced. The Vedic fruit, which is mature and ripe in knowledge, is spoken through the lips of Srila Shukadeva Goswami, who is compared to the parrot, not for his ability to recite the Bhagavatam exactly as he heard it from his learned father, but for his ability to present the work in a manner that would appeal to all classes of men. Let us say a few words about this. I will read the verse again. Nigama kalpa taroa galitam palam shukamakad amrita drava samyutam pibada bhagavatam rasam alayam mahuraho rasika bhuvi bhavuka. O expert and thoughtful men, relish Srimad Bhagavatam, the mature fruit of the desire tree of Vedic literatures. It emanated from the lips of Sri Shukadeva Goswami. Therefore, this fruit has become even more tasteful, although its nectarian juice was already relishable for all, including liberated souls. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamani Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharani Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pastutiyade Shatarani Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shivasati Gauravakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Vanta Kalpatrubhyasya Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Padidhanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. So there's a number of interesting points in just the part of the purport that we read, which is perhaps maybe a quarter or so or even less of the whole purport. Srila Prabhupada makes the point, or the verse actually makes the point, that, and Prabhupada elaborates and clarifies, that there is an interesting process in regard to fruits, which I don't know if we're aware of that before we heard this, but you know, normally in the Western world, if we have a fruit tree and we're waiting for the fruit to become ripe, and then some bird comes and takes one peck, then in many cases, at least in my experience, the people think, oh, it's spoiled because a bird came and pecked it. And but now the understanding in Vedic society is if a parrot comes and pecks it, it makes it sweeter. It makes it sweeter. Yes. So the mangoes, of course mangoes are celebrated as the king of fruit. Not the South African ones. I mean, some of them are quite nice. But really, in India, particularly around Bombay, you get the Alfonso mangoes. Are you familiar with Alfonso mangoes? Sure. It's amazing. They're just completely amazing. It's a mango, but it's just so different from any mango you ever had. So sweet. And just a rich taste. It's amazing. But when they see one of those mangoes has been pecked by a parrot, that's considered the special one. We must get that one. Because it'll be super sweet by the effect of the just one little peck by the parrot, Shuka. Shuka means parrot. And Shuka Dev Goswami, the name is there on that basis that he took the Srimad Bhagavatam, which was already relishable for all, as he had been given it. But he took it, what he was given, and then he pecked it, or he spoke it. And Prabhupada makes the point right at the end of the part of the purport we read. It wasn't necessarily just the fact that he just repeated it faithfully. Of course he was faithful in his reproduction. But he... not that he speculated and came up with some new, quote-unquote, idea that no one had thought about, and, you know, so just some creative mental speculation. But when he recited it, and like I say, not that he was trying to be creative. How can I make it sound better so people will enjoy it more, or people may think, what an expert speaker I am. But in the process of repeating the transcendental subject matters and also giving some of our own realizations, means genuine realizations, and also perhaps giving some other examples which illustrate the same points. So the subject matter, the whole recitation, the subject matter becomes enriched and becomes even nicer than when we heard it before. Just one example, in one sense it's not the best, but it is an example. In Bombay, when Srila Prabhupada was present, there was one devotee, and his practice when he gave a class, because every day in our temples, and you know, Hare Krishna, we hope, in our temple in Pietermaritzburg, it will be the same. Every day there's Srimad Bhagavatam class. Every day, 7 days a week. 365 days in a year. So, this devotee there in Bombay, he would give Bhagavatam class from time to time, but when he would give it, he would just read the verse, the purport, the next verse, and purport, and the next verse, and purport. And he'd go on for the allotted time, which is perhaps 45 minutes or thereabouts. And that would be the end. So, he thought that I'm being, this is the best thing, because I'm being so faithful to Srila Prabhupada, and I'm just repeating his message verbatim. But one man, regular visitor and like devotee, friend of the devotees, or actually a devotee, he complained to Prabhupada that this devotee, it's Srimad Bhagavatam class, he just reads. He doesn't speak on the verse, and he just reads it. And so Prabhupada spoke to that devotee who tried to sincerely say that, well, you know, what are my ideas worth? Better we just take from you just the whole thing. And Prabhupada said, no. They want to hear your realizations. And many times, you know, sometimes we just read, but sometimes devotees, after a class is being given, They feel very nice because the speaker has given some realizations and brought in some other perspectives. So Shukadev Goswami, he is not just your average ISKCON class giver. And, you know, to be an average ISKCON class giver is pretty good actually. But Shukadev Goswami, he is just Maha Maha Bhagavat of the very highest order. So he presented like that to Maharaj Parikshit, as he had heard it from Srila Vyasadeva, and there was a big assembly of people, devotees and rishis and even demigods, and Narada Muni was there. It was a very major event, and all important people from the universe practically were there, at least many. So Shukadev Goswami came. Interesting point, which is mentioned in the Bhagavatam, that Srila Vyasadeva was there. Now, we read that Srila Vyasadeva, he received Srimad Bhagavatam from Narada Muni. Narada Muni was also there. So Vyas is the guru and father, but more particularly really the guru of Shukadev, and then Narada is the guru of Vyas, so he is the grandfather guru, you could say, of Shukadev. But they both stayed in the audience and listened. And the description in the Bhagavatam is that when they heard Srimad Bhagavatam from Shukadev Goswami, it was like a new experience for them. It wasn't like, oh yeah, sure, I know that, you know. I gave that. And it was like a new experience, not in the sense, like we said, that as a creative thinker he just dreamed up some new interpretations. But it was a new experience because, well, on one hand, the transcendental subject matter, as you study it, you get more out of it. It's not that when you read Prabhupada's books and then you read again the same book, it's not that the experience is like with mundane books. You read a book, you may possibly read it again perhaps, and then it's just, you know, the story, and it's you know, generally when people read a book, if people read a book for the second time, the experience is much less because they know what's coming, they know the conclusion, and so the experience, it's not so exciting or stimulating as the first time that they read it. However, with the transcendental literature, one fact is that when you read it for the second time, you penetrate to deeper levels of it, and you get a better experience than the first time. And then when you read it the third time, you get a better experience again, and a deeper experience, more understanding, and it's nicer than the first time or the second time. And you can go on and on. And when I first joined the temple, the devotees told me, you know, there were many Prabhupada says things. It was just every day. So many Prabhupada says. Prabhupada said this, that. So one thing that Prabhupada, I was told, said is that if you read Bhagavad Gita 27 times, it becomes yours. Doesn't that sound esoteric? It becomes yours means you basically, you know it. You can, if anyone says, what is chapter 8 verse 4? You can just give it. What is chapter 9 verse 35? Well, no, there is no such verse. So, yeah. And I knew one devotee in England, I haven't seen him for some years. He made a program of reading Srimad Bhagavatam. He would only read it. And he's now been a devotee like 35 years. I haven't seen him for several years. Last time I saw him, and so it means every day you read Srimad Bhagavatam, a chapter, He would usually read a chapter a day, and if he had time, more. So I asked him, how many times have you read Srimad Bhagavatam? He said, I lost count after about the 15th time, and I just didn't bother keeping track after then. In Russia, there is an interesting culture. There is, part of the culture is a cake culture. They specialize in making cakes. A Russian cake is called a tort. And there are different torts. But the most famous is a multi-level, multi-layer. Each layer is, you know, like 2 millimeters. Some sort of, you know, like what? Wheat, with the sort of cake mix layer, but it's very thin. Then a fruit layer, but it's very thin. Then an icing layer, a certain type of icing layer, but it's very thin. And you get these big thick cakes, you know, like that. Multi-layer. And as you bite in and you go through layer after layer, you get all these different taste experiences. Srimad Bhagavatam is like that, but even more so. In that, as you read it more and more, you get more and more from it, and more happiness. So in that sense, when Srila Vyasadeva and Narada were hearing from Shukadev, they were just amazed. Is this the same literature? It's incredible. So that's one thing. But another thing is the Shuka principle, the parrot principle, that Prabhupada referred to it as such, that as devotees, qualified and faithful devotees, represent, after all this term represent just means represent in essence. As faithful and qualified devotees represent the message of Srimad Bhagavatam, but it becomes enriched by their realizations and how they may present the message with different examples, etc., etc. So this is a wonderful thing about Srimad Bhagavatam, and it's been noted here by Sutta Goswami, who then took it, having heard it from Shukadev, and re-presented it to the sages, Shonaka and the sages in Naimisharanya. And he's making the point that this message of Srimad Bhagavatam, it became nicer through being presented by Shukadev, although it was already relishable for everyone, including even liberated souls. So the fact it was already relishable, that we've sort of addressed to some degree. But now here, and we read in the purport, that there's also the point that it is relishable even for devotees, or people, even for people who are already liberated and beyond any type of material attraction of any sort of material enjoyment of any type, be it food, be it music, be it some comfort or whatever. Liberated soul means someone who's beyond the touch of any type of material attraction. However, those liberated souls, they become attracted to Srimad Bhagavatam. So what does this mean? It means that Srimad Bhagavatam is liberated. It is not material. And it means that Srimad Bhagavatam is actually on a higher level of liberation than the liberated person, because they become attracted to it. Yes. And through hearing it, they become even more liberated. They were already liberated, but they become even more liberated. So what is this Srimad Bhagavatam? It's something. It is truly a super literature. Even amongst transcendental literatures, it is a super transcendental literature. We read in the purport, Prabhupada briefly mentioned about Shukadeva himself. He was already liberated when he heard Srimad Bhagavatam. Before he heard, he was already liberated. You may know the story a bit. It's described in, I think it's Bhavishya Purana, one of the Puranas, that Shukadeva, he was liberated, but as an impersonalist. He had realized the impersonal spiritual energy of the Supreme Lord, which, being spiritual, is very wonderful. And when you contact it, it's a much higher experience than you get from contacting something material, any sort of material experience. But it's really, Prabhupada would make the point that it is the spiritual energy of the Lord. And of course, energy is impersonal. Here we're sitting, and the energy of the lights is around us. Light, as such, is the energy of the light bulbs and the light apparatus. So, and of course, you know that the energy is coming from the powerhouse, which was made and is being run by a person. But here we are contacting the energy, which you could say has come from that person, or if not exactly from the person, but certainly by his arrangement. He's taken the energy of the sun or whatever, movement of water, and captured that energy and extracted the energy, and it's been transformed here. So energy is impersonal, and energy is subservient to the energetic. Energy is subservient to the energetic. Just by anybody's standards, this is the case. You know, the person in the electrical generation plant, if he wants, he can just switch off the switch and there go our lights. I was in Ladysmith sometime, I think last year, and they had a water shortage, and the person in charge of the whole water board, you know, the chief man, was a friend of the devotees, a supporter, but he was the top man in the water chain in Ladysmith. And we got to the house, and there was no water. So they called up the man. He switched on the water for the whole suburb, just so I could have a shower. Seriously. Yeah, I mean, actually, it's a fact. Because he is the person who is controlling the energy, the water. So the spiritual energy of the Lord, it's spiritual. It's very wonderful. But he is the energetic, not only the controller, but it's actually coming from him. You know, that gentleman is not actually producing water as such, he's just channeling it. But now Krishna is not just channeling that energy, it's actually coming from his being. But because he's the energetic, he's in the superior position. So, Shukadev then, he was impersonally realized. He had realized the spiritual energy of the Lord. It is called Brahman realization. That spiritual energy is called the Brahman or the Brahmajyoti. These are the terms generally used. And he had realized that. As a result of having realized the Brahmajyoti, the spiritual energy of the Lord, which is way higher than anything material, it's eternal. It's eternal. Everything material is temporary. So we're talking about really a higher category of existence, spiritual existence. So he had realized that. And as a result, he was completely beyond the possibility that he might, if he became exposed to certain materially attractive things, that he might get diverted from his spiritual position and fall down into trying to enjoy that whatever type of materially attractive thing. Yeah. He was beyond it. And you know, you could have put the best top notch Bollywood movie on, and there wouldn't be any question that he might have to think, hey, I shouldn't watch this, this is not so good. Better I do something Krishna conscious. It just wouldn't touch him. It just wouldn't touch him at all. The best food, the most attractive music, or whatever, just wouldn't touch him. He was beyond these things. So anyway, what happened was that he became the son of Srila Vyasadeva. And the wife of Vyasadeva was, what was her name? Satyavati, I think. So, but now, so he is in the womb of his mother, but he's a fully realized soul. So, even though, you know, he's not even born, what to speak of being a helpless little baby, he's still within the womb of his mother. But that being fully realized, he was in full consciousness. When he, you know, he was not the sort of person that on being born, the best he could say would be goo goo ga ga, and maybe after, you know, however many months, he could say ma ma, pa pa, or something like that, and it would be a celebration. You know, he was fully literate already, even as a fetus. Hare Krishna. Fully literate and just fully developed as a person. Fully developed. And beyond how we're developed, you know, we forget things and make mistakes, etc. But he was beyond the touch of ignorance. Why do we forget things? Because we become influenced by ignorance. Why do we make mistakes? Because we become influenced by the mode of ignorance. He was beyond it. Even as an unborn child in the womb of his mother. So, Shukadeva Goswami, there he is, he's in the womb of his mother. And he made a decision. The time was coming for him to make his appearance. 9 months, whatever it may be. It was around that point. And he made a decision. I'm not coming out. And he didn't. And his parents are waiting, you know. It's already 9 months. It's 11 months. It's 12 months. You know, it's 15 months. What's going on? Lord Chaitanya was in the womb, I think, for 13 months. If I remember correctly, it's in Chaitanya Charitamrita. But anyway, after some time had passed beyond the due date, his parents understood, you know, something is going on here. So they spoke to him in the womb, or Vyasadeva particularly did, his father, and said, you know, it's okay, you can come out now, please come out. And Shukadeva said, no, it's okay, thanks. I'm okay here. You know, when you're in the womb of your mother, of course, we can't remember, I don't think I can't, I don't think anybody really can. But you're in a very restricted situation, and, you know, sort of, the body's just, anyway, you know. And we know, even as we sit here in the class, we have to adjust our position sometimes. Move our legs. Oh, look. And, you know, something, something, something. And to stay in the same position for weeks. That's something. So, and indeed the Bhagavatam actually describes, there's a whole chapter describing the experience of the child within the womb. And it's uncomfortable. It's very uncomfortable physically. So Vyasadeva said to Shukadeva within the womb that, you know, come out. You're all cramped up there. Come out, stretch your legs, relax a bit, get some exercise. But Shukadeva was liberated. So not only was he not attracted to the attractive things which ordinary people and even ourselves as devotees may sometimes feel attracted to, but he was also not affected by the uncomfortable situations and even painful situations which come sometimes. So Vyasadeva was saying to him, look, you know, you're all cramped up there, come out, it's okay. And Shukadeva said, no, it doesn't make any difference to me. I think I'll just stay here. And Vyasadeva said that, well, it may be okay for you, but it's quite uncomfortable for your mother. You know, a child at 15 months is developed really quite from the time they're born. And so Vyasa said that, and Shukadeva said, well, you know, I'm sorry, but just from my own point of view, it's better off for me to be here, to stay here. And Vyas said, what do you mean by that? How could it be better for you? And Shukadev said, well, if I come out, I have to deal with the world. So many people, situations, and so many attractions. And, you know, I might become attracted and fall down. Just get involved in some material situation. So here, I can't see anything. So it's better. It's safer for me. So I think I'll stay here. And he did. Vyas tried to tell him, look, you know, you're a liberated soul. It doesn't make any difference if you're in the womb or outside of the womb. There is no possibility you're going to become attracted because you're completely liberated. And Shukadev said, well, you know, that's encouraging, but I'd rather take the conservative position and just not run the risk because you never know. So he stayed there, and you know how long he stayed there? 16 years. Ladies, those of you who have had a child or two or three or whatever, you know what it feels like. But can you imagine a 16-year-old? How old are you, Radhapriya? 15. Anyway, just think about that, Mataji. Okay? So it was really, you know, the poor lady. It was not easy for her. And Vyasadeva, of course, from time to time, he would just try to convince him to come out. But it came to this point, and the mother said, look, I can't take it any longer. That's it. He's got to come out. So Vyasadeva appealed to Shukadev, please come out. You must come out. I insist. And Shukadev told him, I know your situation. He said, you're under pressure from your wife. You're a henpecked husband. What's it to you if I come out or stay here? And he refused, as he'd already done on numerous occasions. He refused. So Vyasadeva said, look, Lord Krishna is personally present on the planet. Is that our battery? Lord Krishna is personally present. In Dwaraka, they were not in Dwaraka, they were somewhere else, I forget where they were. And Vyasadeva said, if I get Lord Krishna to come and give his personal guarantee that you will not fall down if you come out, will you come out? And Shukadev finally said, okay, if Krishna guarantees. So Krishna came all the way from Dwaraka. What can we do? Oh, okay. Krishna came all the way from Dwaraka and spoke with Shukadev within the womb and gave his word and then went back to Dwaraka. As soon as he died, Shukadev came out. But even though
he had accepted what Krishna had said, but still he was concerned. Now, I don't want to take any chances. So what he did, he ran. He came out of the womb and ran. He headed for the hills.
And Vyasadeva was racing after him and calling out, my son, come back. But Shukadeva thought, you know, ah, he's a grihastha. I'm getting out of here. Seriously. So Vyasadeva was feeling very bad, you know, after all this. And I wanted to bring him up and train him and just give him the best in Krishna consciousness. But now he's gone. So Vyasadeva, what he did, he sent out some of his disciples who had not seen Shukadeva yet, because he had just run. So they didn't know what he looked like. And he ran away. He didn't even bother putting any clothes on at all. So Vyasadeva told his disciples, please go out and try and find my son. And they said, well, what does he look like? How are we going to recognize him? And Vyasadeva said, first thing is, he has no clothes on. And what you do, so anyway, but he may not be the only one like that. So what you do, Vyasadeva gave them some verses from Srimad Bhagavatam. They're very special verses about the mercy of the Lord. And he told them, you just wander around, just walk around, and just recite these verses. And after some time, you will see some naked teenage boy following you, because he'll be attracted by the verses. So when you see he's following you, just come back here. Don't stop reciting the verses. Just walk back here reciting the verses. So they did that, and sure enough, after a while they saw, ah, look, that must be Shukadeva. Teenage boy, no clothes, and, you know, like kind of wild, unkempt. And he was following them because he was attracted by the narration. And then they walked back. And then he came there and he stayed. And Srila Vyasadeva taught him Srimad Bhagavatam. Yes. This is how he, Shukadeva, received Srimad Bhagavatam. It's very interesting. We know at least four of those verses. One is the famous verse 3, I believe, 3-23, which begins, Aho Bhakiyam Stanakava Kutam Jighamsaya Payayad Apyasad Vi. It is Uddhava lamenting immediately after the disappearance of Lord Krishna from this world that, oh, alas, alas, what will I do now? How will I find someone now who can be merciful to me, like Krishna was merciful to me? Now Krishna's gone. How will I find someone who can be merciful to me like that? He was so merciful that he granted the position of mother to the she-demon, Putana, even though she tried to kill him by placing poison on her breast. So, this is one of the verses. Very special verse about Krishna, how merciful Krishna is. He was so merciful that even though she came to kill him and she tried, but he killed her. But You know, she was a terrible person. She was a killer of children. This was her, how she lived. She was like a professional killer of children. And she came to kill Krishna. And if someone's so sinful and demoniac like that, killing children, killing anybody, just for no reason, then of course they get such terrible karma, they go to hell, it's just a karmic disaster for them. So, but, not Putana. She went back to Goloka Vrindavan. And when you all, nice devotees, I know many of you well, and many of you I know are practicing Krishna consciousness seriously. And when you go back to Goloka Vrindavan in the not too distant future, Hare Krishna, we hope, then, and you arrive, wow, someone may walk up to you, welcome, do you know who I am? I was Putana, because she's there, and she is a nurse of Krishna, yes, in Goloka. So, yeah. So the point there, in particular, was that Shukadeva was already liberated. But he, even though he was liberated and beyond any material attraction, you could offer him anything material, not a hint of the slightest interest. But he was attracted, so attracted to Krishna, that just by the recitation of some of the glories of Krishna, he just became compelled. He couldn't resist. He couldn't stop himself. He had to follow. And he did. So, yes, there's one verse. It also appears in the earlier parts. I forget the verse number. What is that? Atmaramas chamunayo nirgranta apyurukrame Kurvantya Haitikim Bhaktim Itam Bhuta Guna Hari. That even people who are Atmarama, satisfied in the self, the soul, in other words, like Shukadeva realized, even people who are liberated souls become attracted by Krishna, because Itam Bhuta Guna Hari, Krishna possesses qualities which are transcendental. And the fact, as we mentioned, the fact that those people who are already liberated become attracted to Krishna because of his qualities means he and his qualities are on a higher level of transcendence than those impersonalists. So, like this, we should understand Srimad Bhagavatam is really important. And even though it is a big book, we should try to read it. What do you think? Yeah, of course, you know, you can get something like this. This is an iPad. On it is the whole Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, and everything, and many books you can't imagine. It would probably fill all the walls of the room. That's not so much, is it? You could read that. So yeah, we should read Srimad Bhagavatam, because, and we should chant Hare Krishna. I know generally we do chant Hare Krishna. Reading Srimad Bhagavatam may be a little more difficult, you know, it's somewhat complex, and at least it's big. Just the size of it may be a little off-putting. But we should read it because it is just nectar. It is nectar. Of course, we may not have a taste for it yet. We may still have more of a taste for material subject matters and literatures and so on, movies, adventure, and all that. We may have a bigger attraction for those things, but we should cultivate, try to develop an attraction and appreciation for Srimad Bhagavatam. We mentioned yesterday how the Bhagavatam itself describes how to do that. What is it? Shushusho Shadadanasya Vasudeva Kata Ruchi Syan Mahat Sevaya Vipra Punyatiyata Nishevanat. By serving the great souls, great service is done. By such service, one gains an affinity for hearing the messages of Vasudev, Krishna. This is an interesting point, that if we serve the devotees, we will get an affinity, an attraction for hearing about Krishna. And you might wonder, you know, why? Because serving devotees, reading a book, these are like really different things. How would serving somebody arouse an attraction to reading some book? It may not compute for material people. But the thing is, the devotees are so dear to Krishna. If we serve them and appreciate them, Krishna becomes very happy with us. Very happy. And then Krishna thinks, what a nice devotee. I want to help this devotee. So how is Krishna going to help us? Is he going to give us some money? Money is the honey. Or is he what? He's going to give us something like that. Give us new motor car, Rolls Royce. No. Krishna, when he sees you're serving the devotees, which he appreciates so much, then Krishna thinks, what's the best thing I can give this wonderful devotee? And Krishna thinks, I know. I will give this devotee an attraction for hearing about me. So Krishna gives it. And suddenly you find, oh, I've got it. I like it now. It wasn't so easy, but now, oh, it's nice now. It means Krishna has given that taste because we serve the devotees, because we are serving. So let's try and do like that. Serve the devotees, study the books, because if you study them, you know, you'll get an attraction. The subject matter is just so nice. And then Krishna gives his mercy. And you really become attracted. And then, you know, in the evening, when it's a choice of watching TV, because I'm sure none of you watch TV, right? Right. So when it's a choice between watching TV, or rather taking the time to sit down with Srimad Bhagavatam, it won't be a question of a choice. You'll just go for the Bhagavatam, because that's where the nectar is. Krishne Swadamo Bhagate Dharma Glanya Dibi Saha K kalo nashta drishamesha pura narko denodita. This Srimad Bhagavatam has arisen just after the departure of Lord Krishna for his own abode. And I forget the exact translation. Anyone know? It's arisen. Anyway, it's the form of the Lord, which has arisen just after his departure. And people who have lost their vision due to the dense darkness of the age of Kali will get light from this Purana, because it is the literary incarnation of Krishna. You start at the beginning. First canto is the lotus feet of the Lord. 12th canto is the crown of the Lord. 11th canto is his forehead. 10th canto is his smiling face. And the other cantos are other parts. So the Bhagavatam says, if you read the Bhagavatam from the beginning to the end, by the time you come to the end, you will have realized Krishna. And you'll meet him in the pages of the Bhagavatam. So let us try and do this. Because, you know, Krishna consciousness in Mansberg is now developing onto higher levels. We were just at the temple. Wow. It's slow, but sure. But it's changed a lot since I was last there. I forget exactly when it was, but some months ago. It's changed quite a bit. And even over the next few weeks, it's going to change. The roof's going to go on. And then the windows. So a new dawn, a new age is coming to Peter Maritzburg. And with it is needed renewed devotees. Developed, more developed devotees. As the movement develops, the devotees have to develop spiritually. Yeah. So let us work on Srimad Bhagavatam. Study it carefully on a regular basis. We'll do ourselves a great favor, and it will be such an integral part of the ongoing maturing of Krishna consciousness in Peter Maritzburg. Hare Krishna.
Any comment or question?
Just in terms of advancement, we say that Sukadeva Goswami and Vyasadeva were equally advanced, or Sukadeva Goswami was more advanced?
Well, devotees are very humble. Bhagavatam describes when Sukadeva walked into the assembly there where Maharaj Parikshit was on the banks of the Ganges, that both, everybody, including both Vyasa and Narada, saw him. Everybody offered their obeisances, including Vyasa, who was his father and guru, and Narada, who is, you know, like a very, very remarkable transcendental personality, even amongst great devotees. They both offered their obeisances. Because they both perceived that he was more advanced than them through his study of Srimad Bhagavatam. And they both sat and listened. You know, normally the spiritual master, the disciple offers obeisances to the spiritual master, not vice versa. Yeah. And what to speak of the spiritual master of the spiritual master. Yeah. So Sukadeva had achieved a higher, a more advanced position, actually. That even Vyas, who is an incarnation of the Lord, and Narada is a type of incarnation of Lord Chaturvesh. Any other comment or question? Srila Prabhupada ki. And I can just mention, actually, I'm going to have breakfast and then I have to wait here for a little while for something. Then my intention is to chant more. So anyone who would like to chant more japa, please stay and we'll chant together here. How's that? Okay. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.